So, Father, would you bless the word of God? May the Holy Spirit come. And just as in worship, Jesus, you were enthroned on our praise, I pray that the word of God would come alive and people's hearts and minds would be touched today, and that you would encourage us. You are not dead, you are alive, and you are good. In Jesus' name, amen. So today I want to talk to you about the promise, Jesus, our healer. Jesus, our healer. And if you look at John 10:10, which we are basing this whole series off of, it says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's the devil. But I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. How many of you read that and go, gosh, I wish that was true. I'm a Christian and I don't have abundant life. I don't feel this inside of me. Anybody honestly ever feel that way? It's okay. You can raise your hand. The Lord's not like, what? You feel? He knows how you feel. Hebrews 13:8 is on the back of our sanctuary, on the wall, actually, when you leave, there's a cross. And it says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So watch this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. His character, his nature, who he is in Genesis, before he even created the world, Jesus was. Did you know that? He was with the Father and all things were created through him. Watch. He's here in yesterday. He is the exact same person. When he is here today in our church right now, he is the exact same nature, character, person of who he is. And he will be in the future, tomorrow, and when we get to heaven, he will be the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. And there are people that want to preach that he has changed, that he doesn't do this, and he doesn't do that. And how many of you ever heard those messages? That God doesn't fill people with the Holy Spirit anymore. There's no such thing as healing anymore. There's no such thing as this. And I always say, find that for me in the Bible, please. And they give me one verse. And it says, when that which is perfect has come, tongues will cease. Where there's knowledge, it will cease. Where there's all these gifts, they will cease. And I go, yeah, but the problem is you're picking and choosing the gifts you want out because knowledge has not ceased. Has knowledge ceased? No. So Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has always been a healing, loving God, and he always will be. Always. Amen? It's who he is. Look at Luke chapter 5, if you have your Bible, verse 27. I'm going to blaze through some scripture, and then we're going to get right to the meat of this message. Luke chapter 5, 27. Later, as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth. How many know tax collectors get a raw deal in the Bible? They're not like the best. They are literally society. They were not loved. How many of you know they're not loved much anymore today? Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Later, Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Underline that, with Jesus as the guest of honor. By the way, everywhere in Scripture where Jesus was made fun of, mocked, said he wasn't the Son of God, wasn't honored as the Son of God, the Bible says he did very few miracles in that town. Everywhere that Jesus was honored and accepted as the Son of God, if you read, there's miracles that break out like crazy. People are being healed. People are being saved, raised from the dead. And in one town he went, he didn't hardly do anything because they did not honor him as the Son of God. And Levi invites Jesus into his house and says, I honor you. And salvation came to his house and miracles break out if you study and look around what's going on around that. So today, Jesus is our guest of honor. Amen? He's the Son of God and we're not going to diminish him today through a sermon. We're actually going to talk about who he really is. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with him. But the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples. Why do you eat with such scum? By the way, I've said it to you before, there's a Pharisee inside of all of us waiting to grow up. There's a religious spirit in that wants to get on every Christian and make us where we think our job is to sit around and point out everybody's sin. Because that's what these guys were doing. And Jesus answered them, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. So here's what he's saying. He says, look, he's at the party, you know, Jesus is sipping on a lemonade at the party with all the scum, right? All the scum of the earth. The Pharisees are, oh. I always picture them like, I don't know why, like English. Oh, I don't know why I do that, but they weren't, okay? They were Jewish people. Can't believe that he's eating with such sinners. And they're complaining to the disciples. And Jesus answers the question. Peter was probably getting ready to throw down. Jesus, hold on, Peter. Shut the pie hole for a minute. And he looks at these people and he says, I didn't come for those who think they're righteous. Notice he didn't say that are righteous. He says they think they are. But I came for those who are sick and know that they need a doctor and know that they need healing and know that they need forgiveness and know that they need their hearts, minds, and emotions changed. Amen? How many of you would say I fall into that category? I do too. Jesus basically came and said, broken, hurting people are who I came for. Isn't that great? Remember when Jesus called Peter and the fish, you know, they caught all the fish, and then Peter says to Jesus, Jesus, go away from me. I am a sinner. I am one of the worst. And what did Jesus say to Peter? I love this. Don't be afraid. And I'm going to say something to you right in the beginning. Don't be afraid of your brokenness. Do any of you think thoughts, have feelings, or have hurt in your life that you are ashamed of and that you would never want anyone to know? Raise your hand. Really? Only that many? Liars. Here's what Jesus would say to you today. I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of your broken heart. I'm not afraid of your messed up life. I am not afraid of the darkness that you feel. I'm not afraid of your childhood. I'm not afraid of your marriage. I'm not afraid of where you're at right now. Don't be afraid. I know you're a sinner, but I've come to what? Heal you. I've come to make you whole. How many of you could use some of that today? Three people. Awesome. The rest of you must work out. Some say that he doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't heal. He doesn't. He's not the God who heals anymore. Man, it bothers me. Every time I hear that, I'm just like, I want to pull my hair out. Because it's a slap in the face to God, our creator. Look at Exodus chapter 15, 26. One short verse. For I am the Lord who heals you. Watch this. God healed in the Old Testament. All through it, he healed people. They called on him and he healed them. By the way, did you know Jesus healed every person that came and asked him for healing? Read the New Testament. There's nowhere where somebody said, Jesus, I got a little broken and I need you to heal me. No, go away. Everyone that came to Jesus was healed. And by the way, there are people that Jesus healed that didn't ask for it. I've heard people say, well, in order to be healed, you got to ask. Well, Jesus walked up to people and said, you, I'll heal you. You got a messed up back? Remember the lady in the New Testament? She was bent over and the Bible says she was crippled. And Jesus came into the synagogue and he goes, you, come here. And he said the greatest thing. He says, a child of Abraham shouldn't live like this. What was he saying? A lady who is Jewish, who has a covenant with God, should not be living this way. And he says that about you today too, because we have a covenant now with him through Jesus Christ. And he healed her and she didn't even ask for it. So watch, God is healed in the Old Testament, Jesus healed in the New Testament, and now all of a sudden, the spout is turned off, he does not heal anymore. Because people say, well, Jesus healed so that he could prove that he was the Son of God and so that he could get the kingdom going. That's what their argument is, that's why Jesus healed people. Oh, really? Let's find out if that's true. How many want to find out if that's true? Matthew 14:14, one little verse. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. What did he have on them? Compassion. Jesus got out of the boat. So trip out on this. Genesis 1 God, the creator of all things, Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says about him in John chapter 1, that he created all things. He steps out of the boat. God sees his broken creation and weeps over them and has compassion. He wasn't the Pharisee that stepped out of the boat. You deserve this. For you have sinned. He goes, no, come here. And the Bible says that he had compassion and he healed them. Why did Jesus heal people? Because he loved them. Because he had compassion on them. He didn't heal them so that people go, wow, he's the Son of God, and the gospel gets going. And now in 2000, we don't need it anymore because we have K-Love. We play the same 15 songs all day. We have Precious Moments statue dolls now. You can buy in the bookstore. We have all these Christian things, and so we don't need healing anymore because we have books and knowledge, and we know so much about the Bible. Really? So we don't have, God doesn't have compassion anymore on sick and broken people anymore because we know things? How many know if there's a guy that's crippled and is laying in the dirt, Jesus didn't come up to him and go, hey, buddy, here's a commentary that you might want to read on. This guy doesn't believe in healing anymore. He says it's passed away. You might want to read this commentary. Hope you're going to do good. Sorry about your sores. No. He said, okay, man, I don't want my creation living like this. Get up, get off that mat. And the Bible says the guy got up. Jesus is the healer. He has not diminished in his power one bit. It is not theological to say that God doesn't do this anymore. We've got two people. That's awesome. Two believers. Why is it that you can go to some countries and there's massive miracles in the name of Jesus? Like the guy that came from Cambodia that scared some of you. He did. I had people, I don't know what the tongues is all about. Yeah, you know, maybe would have been better to teach on tongues a little before he just throws it out there. But that man lives in a position where Jesus is Lord and people are so broken and needy. He doesn't have time to have his theology come from a book and figure it out. He's kids that are dying of sickness and they need to be healed and they don't have a CVS. And so he's like, Jesus, you said you're the healer, and they're seeing miracles. They're seeing people raised from the dead. And then they come here and I go, what's wrong, Ted? How come we're not seeing that stuff? And he goes, because preachers are preaching that they don't need it. They're preaching a lack of faith. I'm not going to preach to you a lack of faith. Here's why. Because I want you to be healed. And I want you to be out there in the mall, filled, watch, armed with truth and the word of God and the character and the nature and the love of God. And when you see somebody that's having a problem, you just walk over and in the name of Jesus, and then... We want to see miracles so that we can write a book. We want to see miracles so that we can have a DVD. And Jesus, listen, Jesus did miracles because he loved people. I want the motive of my heart to see people healed, not so that we can have a great church, although I want to have a great church. I want it because God loves people and he wants them whole, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. He created the all of us, therefore he knows how to touch the all of us. Amen? All right. More people are believing as I'm preaching. I can feel it. Luke 4:38. After leaving the synagogue that day, Jesus went to Simon's home where he found Simon's mother-in-law very sick with a high fever. Please heal her. Everyone's begging him. Standing at her bedside, he rebuked the fever that left her, and she got up at once and prepared a meal for them. As the sun went down that evening, people throughout the village brought sick family members to Jesus. Please underline this in your Bible. No matter what their diseases were, the touch of his hand healed them all. How many? All. There's a word that's a Greek word. It's the word yabet. Because I can preach on this, and instantly there are people going, I prayed for somebody. Yabet, they died. It's not a real Greek word, if you're figuring it out. Yabet. I stood right here with a lady. We're praying for 100 people that are sick. And she comes up and says, I loved your sermon, but I don't think it's true because I prayed for my brother and he died. And I go, man, that breaks my heart that your brother died. And gosh, breaks the heart of Jesus. We trust the Lord in his sovereignty that he knew what he was doing. But I'm going to keep praying in faith because I've prayed for so many people that have died. My first few years in the ministry, I literally said, don't call me to come to the hospital. They will die. Well, they only have a broken arm. Still, don't call me. They'll probably die. As time went on, healings began to happen. And so there are people I've prayed for that have died, and I trust the sovereignty and the love and the will of God and the way of God. But the next person I go to pray for, I pray the prayer of faith, as James says to you. I pray the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is not this. Lord, if it's your will. It's not faith. That's surrender, but it's not faith. I want you to catch this. He healed them all. Now, we're going to bump down. Luke chapter 5, verse 12. Listen to this. And it happened when he was in a certain city, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, fell on his face, implored him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, come and make me clean. Then he put out his hand, touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. So watch this. Jesus is walking along, a leprony. I don't know what that is. A leper colony, because they couldn't be around people, and everywhere they went, they had to yell, unclean, I'm gross, I'm disgusting. By the way, people do that, go to the mall, people do that all the time. I met a guy once, tatted, had like a dead rat hanging from his jacket, punk hairdo. His body language said, I am broken and unclean, stay away from me. And look what Jesus did to this leper who said, I'm unclean. That's what scholars believe, that Jesus didn't just touch him, that Jesus walked up to him and hugged him. He did the very thing that you're not supposed to do. Why? Because Jesus had authority over sickness. He wasn't afraid of leprosy. And he hugged him, and the man was instantly healed. But here's the key. Here's what he yells out. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. So watch this. How many of you believe that God can do anything? He's big. He can do anything. He could say, gravity, stop. And that'd be a trip for a moment. We'd all be like, whoa, what's going on? We believe that he can do it. But where this guy didn't know was he said, if you're willing, which watch this, if it's your will, I want to be clean. I want to be forgiven. I want to be whole. I don't want to live my life like this anymore. Watch. And Jesus responds to him, it is my will. If you're willing, make me clean. And Jesus said, I am willing. It is his will. And man, I'm going to get emails. I don't care. It is God's will for you to be whole. He is good. And I don't mean just physically. I don't mean just physically. I mean emotionally, mentally. The things inside of you that nobody knows about, the false belief systems, the hurt as a child, the stuff you went through in your marriage, all the stuff that nobody sees because we... And we walk around like... I don't walk like that, but... We walk around as though we're okay. And by the way, I think that's okay, right? That's okay. We shouldn't all walk around, I'm in the mall shopping, I'm so broken. People would think we're weird. But there comes a time and point where we have to say, Jesus, are you willing? Because this doesn't hurt. This hurts bad, and it's keeping me from loving people. And the Lord would say to you today, I am willing. Just let me have it. Just come to me. Amen? Amen. So watch, here we go. Three little points and we're going to be done. I'm going to give you three ways that God heals. And I'm so excited about the last point is straight from heaven. I believe that. Well, they're all from heaven, but number one, God heals miraculously. Supernaturally, right now. Some of you go, yeah, I've read the Bible and I know he does that, but I've never seen it. I've been in the ministry since I was 17 and a half years old. I will be 50 in 9 months or whatever it is. Old man, I'm already starting to like, no, just kidding. And I have watched over 30-something years. I have seen miracles right in front of my eyes. In churches, in conferences I've preached at, in school when I was a student in high school, I saw people get healed. Radical healings, broken bones healed, blind eyes opened. I'm talking Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, right here in our midst. Amen. Doing it, like doing the stuff. He heals miraculously. Number two, he heals with time. He's given our bodies the ability, if you cut your arm, aren't you thankful that God, not an explosion of two planets, God created our bodies that if you get cut, it actually heals. How many are thankful for that? You know how jacked up we'd all look right now? If our bodies didn't heal themselves, That when you took that shot to the teeth when you were a little kid and your tooth would be all jangled and you'd have big old mark here and you'd have scars everywhere and you'd be bleeding out of this place. And we just all look like Halloween all the time. God created our bodies to heal over time. And I want you to hear this. He is patient and loving. These next two points, please, if you're not listening, now listen. Wake up from your nap and now listen. Because this, on my sabbatical, the Lord gave me these two things, and it rocked me. Luke 13:6 says this. Under time, God gave us time. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? By the way, some of you were told when you were kids, you're useless. You're just taking up space. That's the enemy's lie. That's not true about you. It's not how God sees you. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? Verse 8. But he answered and said to them, sir, this is so good. I've read my Bible. I've read this hundreds of times. And this came at me like a 2x4. I was like, Lord, I've never seen this. That's so cool. He says, yeah, you're always in a hurry when you read your Bible. And he answered and said to them, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, great. But if it doesn't, then you can cut it down. This is so good. John chapter 15. I am the vine dresser and my Father is the gardener, right? Watch. My Father is over the garden of life and your life. And I'm the one who's with you. And the enemy's word is, you're taking up space, you're not bearing fruit, let's just cut you down. Anybody ever feel that way? Like God's like, man, if you just don't get it together, I'm going to cut you down. Watch. I love this picture. Because this is Jesus talking to the guy in the parable about, hey, let's not cut it down. I got an idea. Give me 1 year. Now picture this. 1 year, and I'll go around the root system of that tree because that's where life is. See, the enemy just wants to mow you down, and a religious spirit just wants to mow you down. And here's what Jesus does. I'm going to come around the root system of your life, and I'm going to fill it with fertilizer. Watch. Peace, love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. He's going to come and he's going to speak words of life over you. That's why I'm bugging you all the time to pray and read your Bible, because if you don't, you'll only hear the enemy's voice and the world's voice. You'll never hear his voice and what he has to say about you. Who cares what the devil thinks about you? He's a loser. He's just ticked because he knows where he's going for eternity. He is flat. It's over. Watch. Digging around the root system of your life. And you go, ow, ow, ow. Hey, I don't want to talk about that, Lord. Some of you in this room, I don't want to talk about my parents and the way they treated me. I don't want to talk about the hurt that happened to me. And Jesus, like he would say to Peter, would say to you, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of your stuff. I know it's there. Matter of fact, I purchased you knowing it was there. It's only surprising you. It's not surprising me. And he goes around with mercy and grace and love and kindness. And he says, watch, I'm going to get this nasty tree to bear fruit. And how many of you want to bear fruit? How many of you are tired of going, ugh, what is that? That is disgusting in my life. And the Lord says, yeah, it's coming from the root system. But I am good and I am patient. Listen to this verse. This is such a great verse. Psalms 145 verse 8. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. What kind of love? Does that mean that he puts up with you for a year and if you're not all better, he's done with you? Mm-mm. Does that mean that broken spot of your heart keeps you from loving people and keeps you from... See, that's what we do. This guy that we met with, Cindy and I, who's more like Jesus than any man I've ever been with. And I've known this guy for 30 years. He has a 9,000 square foot mansion in the hills of Los Angeles above Echo Park. And it's not his. It's actually, Foursquare owns it, and it's where pastors can come and hang out and chill and, you know, meet with him if they want. And we're meeting, and he gets me up. He says, come on, hey, let's go on a walk tomorrow morning. I go on walks every morning, and I love walking. I was like, yeah, man, I'll walk with you. I didn't know it was going to be a two-hour death march through the hills of Los Angeles, through all these things, down into the hood by Echo Lake where people get killed and stuff. And I was amazed at this man. He knew everyone. Everyone. Every store we went into, every person on the trail walking their dog. We were walking past a homeless man. I'm not joking. Him and I are talking about life and Jesus and ministry. And there was a homeless man getting out of a trash can. And he says, hey, Jimmy, to the homeless man, you got money for coffee today? And I'm like, we talked to this guy for about 5 minutes, and then we're walking back. Said, Robbie, you love everybody the same. And his childhood was awful. This man's childhood, he told us the story. We never knew. His childhood was horrific. And Jesus came into his life and went to the root systems and gave time and healed him. And as we sat and talked at that table, he said things to us that were so just mind-blowing about the heart of God and how God feels about us as his kids. Because a religious spirit wants to rob you and say this to you. And this is what he said to me. He said, Rick, you're kind of a prophetic guy. You have a prophetic spirit about you. I've known that about you for a long time. You're very black and white. I said, I am, yeah. He says, I love that about you. He says, but here's the problem, is that you see everything as either all good or all bad. And I said, yeah, well, of course. And he said, the problem is when you bring that into your personal life, you'll have a cup full of water that has bad in it, issues you're dealing with, things that the church you're going through, things that people are saying about you. And the tendency is that all that little tiny bit of bad will overwhelm all the good because you'll get focused on the bad. Because the enemy wants to condemn you and make you think that all that bad disqualifies. And he said, it doesn't disqualify. Matter of fact, it means you're human. And as Christians, we don't think we get to be human. We don't think we get to feel. Because we're Christians and all things are new. Well, they are. In heaven, they're new. And when God looks at us, he sees us as new. The problem is you and I have to work through the process of letting Jesus be in the root system of our life to heal us so that we can actually love our wives, love our husbands, love our children, love the homeless man named Jimmy. Amen? Is any of this making sense? Or is it okay, good. Last little point. Number three. This one rocked me. 3 weeks ago, I got this from the Lord. And then people were sending me, hey, Rick, you should hear this message. And it was the same verse. I was like, wow, God's speaking. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 5. Listen to this. This is Paul speaking. He says, for indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest. We were troubled on every side. Wow, that sounds like a prosperity gospel. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Nevertheless, listen to this. God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by, just hang on, pause by. This is the Apostle Paul who was riding a horse, persecuting the church, and Jesus knocked him off his horse, blinded his eyes. Dramatic conversion. This is the Apostle Paul who raised people from the dead, who healed the sick, who cast out demons. This is the Apostle Paul who went to the third heaven. He went to the place where you and I are going. And saw it and said, I can't even tell, it's unexplainable what heaven's like. Here's a man, he's in a position now where he's going, we had fears on the inside, we were troubled on the outside. Anybody relate with that? It's stuff going on inside of you? And God, watch this, who comforts anyone who's downcast, sent us, you ready for this? What did he send the guy who's gone to the third heaven? Get it. He comforted us by the coming of Titus. What? We were comforted. This is the man who saw the third heaven, who is a spiritual giant, and he got comforted because a guy named Titus came and visited. What? Come on, Paul, pray in the Spirit. Pray in tongues more. And he did, and you should. Come on, Paul. Titus came and comforted him. Whoa! So here's what God gives us, the gift of one another. The third thing is he gives us the gift of one another. I've had people say, I had a lady who was in my last church in Burbank. She lived near our church property. And I could hear her, she would open the windows and you could hear her praying in tongues, like yelling. And I remember thinking, man, people that walk by must think that girl's straight up crazy. And I would try to minister to her and talk to her, and she was always just, you know, just the devil's here and the devil this and the devil that and the devil. And I was like, whoa, man, Jesus didn't call us into a relationship with him to be focused on the devil. Called us to be in a relationship with him, to love on him and focus on him. Yeah, we have to kick the devil every now and again, but let's put our eyes on Jesus, right? And she was just going off, and she was loud, and I said, man, you need, you know, let's sit and talk together. I don't need people, she said. I only need Jesus. And I said, man, I love that you only need Jesus, and it's true. He's the only one who can save you. It's the only reason why you're going to heaven. But unfortunately, when you read your Bible, God created us to need people. Love one another. This is a new commandment I give to you. Bear one another's burdens. Look right here. Bear one another's burdens. You see, we need each other because it's the way God crafted us and designed us to work. And without connection to other people, we don't flourish. You can pray 10 hours a day and memorize the whole Bible. And if you don't love the people around you, the Bible says that it's just a bunch of calisthenics. You're not doing anything. How can you say you love God and yet hate your brother? So we have this relationship, vertical. And then God's created us to be horizontal. That's why the enemy wants marriages upside down and people not loving each other, because he knows that if marriage becomes all that God wants it to be, man, they become a threat to the enemy that is so big. Why? Because there's unity. I'm going to close with this little story. Well, Ephesians 4:11 blows my mind. Jesus, raising from the dead, says, I'm going to give gifts to the church. And what are the gifts he gives? People. And he gave some to become pastors and some evangelists and some prophets and some. He gives people as the gift. We can get so hyper-spiritual sometimes that we don't even see the practical love in front of us and the practical person that can come alongside and help us. There was Harvard did it. One of these schools did it. You know, they got nothing better to do than sit around and do tests on things and experiments. They had a monkey and they put him in a cage. They put a monkey in a cage, set the monkey in front of speakers, PA speakers, and blasted music, screaming, sirens, all kinds of terrifying noises at this little monkey, poor little monkey. And they came in and drew his blood and tested his cortisol levels, which is what happens when you and I get under stress. It gets released in our bloodstream. And it's good for momentary, but it's not good for long term. It destroys your heart, actually. And the little monkey, cortisol was off the charts. It was like off the charts. They brought his little buddy in. They brought a little buddy monkey in. Isn't that great? Put a little buddy monkey in the cage with him and did the same experience and drew his blood and found that the little monkey, his cortisol levels were very low. And here's my question for you today. Who's your little monkey? And I don't mean that to be, but I mean it to be. Who's your buddy? Watch, who's your buddy? Who's your buddy that's walking through life with you? Who's your buddy that you can call? I have five people. I can call right now after church. They would answer their phone. And they would talk to me. And they would say, what's up, dude? I'd say, man, I feel terrible about myself. I don't like my preaching. I don't want to be a pastor. I'm this and that, and they would say, yeah, I know how you feel. I've been there. Hey, let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to comfort you. Are you getting that? You need a buddy in your life. And for some of you, your husband, he probably is your monkey. You know, he's probably just a pain. Throwing stuff everywhere, making a mess. But I pray for you that you would find out that your spouse is amazing and that they can comfort you. And that God gave them to you as a gift to walk with you through this life. And I pray for you to find somebody that you can be vulnerable with, that you can tell them all your dirty secrets and all your dirty little stories and all the stuff that broke you as a child so that you can be healed. That's how Jesus puts fertilizer around the root system of your life, as he uses people. I don't want to live broken. I don't want to. Why? When there's a healer. Amen? So good for us. Who is the person that's riding with you? Who is the person that God has given to you as a gift? I want us to do something. We're going to close. And I wanted us to do something. And I was on the phone last night. A buddy of mine texted me. I won't tell you his name. He's a big-time preacher on television. And he texted me last night, and then he said, hey, call me. So I called him. Cindy and I were driving to Costco, and how many love Costco at 5 o'clock? You're just driving, oh, God. There's no parking. People are fighting, and and go in there. You can't find anything. I don't think anybody works there. You can never find somebody to ask a question to. It drives me crazy. Anyways, I'm over the Costco thing. So we're driving, and I call him, and, hey, man, we start talking a little bit. And he's said some powerful stuff. And one of the things he said that just rocked me, he said, you know what's really cool, man? I've been studying that the only time the church is in unity is when we're worshiping. Watch. Watch this. The only time all of us little monkeys come together in one cage. That's why the enemy wants you 20 minutes late to church. That's why the enemy wants worship to be, oh, it's just singing, and I don't like the guitar, and I don't like the drums, and I don't like that song, and I don't like that guy's hair, and I don't like, you know what it is? Because the only time, watch, where the Lord commands blessing, where there's what? Unity. The only time that all of us little monkeys, his kids, are together in one place saying the same truth about God is during worship. And watch this. He inhabits the praises of his people. So watch. When we're standing and worshiping the Lord together and we're singing the same thing, the throne of grace, literally, if we could tear the veil spiritually, you would see Jesus, the Son of God, on his throne. And everyone in this place would be like, whoa, flat as a pancake. Why? Because the body came together and encouraged one another. The Bible says to encourage one another daily as you see the day approaching. If you don't have a friend in your life, you can't do it daily. If you don't have a monkey in the cage, if you don't have your buddy in the cage with you, you can't look at that person and say, keep living for God. He's coming. I know you're going through a hard time, but keep going. It's going to be worth it. We're going to see Jesus someday. So we're going to end our service. I'm going to pray in a minute. And everyone right now, here's what's going on in our Christian minds right now. All right, as soon as he says stand up, I'm out of here. I'm going to get first guy out of here. I got to get to the restaurant. The Baptists get out in like 5 minutes, and we're going to beat them to the restaurant, and it's going to be great. And man, I'm going to go see the game, and I'm going to DVR. Has a football team winning a game ever changed your life and made you better? No. Maybe momentarily. So we're going to stand together and sing for just a couple minutes. And we're going to sing together in unity before our great God about who he is and how amazing he is. He is the God that heals you. If you need healing, say, Lord, heal me. Come heal me. You're good. Just close your eyes, please. I want to just take a couple minutes to make sure there's nobody in here. That this would be the day that you would want to say yes to Jesus. You would want your sins forgiven. You would want this amazing, compassionate, loving God who gave his life for you on a cross so that you could be forgiven and healed. He's the God who takes away, listen to me, he's the God who takes away our sin. Doesn't overlook it, he takes it away. And he's inviting you into a life with him that is unbelievably amazing. And if that's you, you'd say, I really do want to receive Jesus today. With no one looking around, would you just raise your hand high and keep it up, because I'm just going to look through the audience and you say, man, that's me. I need Jesus. Raise it up nice and high so I can see these lights are a little bright. Yeah. Yeah, good. Yep. Anybody else? Just want to say yes to the Lord this morning. You want your sins forgiven. You want to be free. Man, we had a whole truckload in the first service. It was amazing. You say yes to Jesus today. Good. For those of you that raise your hands, would you look at me for just a minute? Right over here, I said yes to your left. When service ends, would you just walk over to this little room? They just want to give you a booklet, pray with you, make sure you're doing okay. Just bring somebody with you. Go back. It's a big step. All right, look at me for just a minute. We're going to go for it. We're going to sing in unity as the people of God, the truth about God. We're going to worship Him like all of our guts and liver. You know that saying? Everything within us. Because if we could see it, He truly is here. He's here. If our eyes could be opened, we'd be like, worship is amazing. Who cares with the guitar? Who cares? Truth about God. Let's stand to our feet, and as the body of Christ, let's sing in unity to our God.
Let's sing together. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Here we go.
Be like, these people are weird. There was a guy next to me raising his hand. It's no different than going to the basketball game, the football game, and somebody's jumping around going, yeah, our team won, woo! To me, that's kind of weird. I'm serious. I look at this and go, what? Guy put it in the hoop and we're flipping out like he cured cancer. Our God did 10 times more, 100 billion times more than any team, anything we celebrate. So he deserves it. I know we're a little late, but I just felt when I was standing, I'm impressed of the Lord to talk to you about. Maybe we pray together for just a minute. We've been praying about a name for the church. How many of you know that? We've been asking the Lord. Some of you are upset that we're going away from East Bay. It's cool. I'm good. You're good. Love you. You love me. Good. And we're close. We're landing. We're landing the plane on a name. But I just want us, can we pray together for a minute about that again? Can we just ask the Lord? Because man, I just so want it to be. So this is what the Lord calls us as a church. So Father, we come to you and I pray today, just like you changed Peter's name, that Lord, you would change our name, that you would continue to speak about what you believe about this church and what you know we're called to be. God, the thing that you want to do in this region, would you begin to even confirm this week what it is that you call us as we prepare for a name change. Lord, we love you, we honor you, and we bless you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, next week, I'm going to be preaching on Jesus, the wonderful counselor. So come on, get prepared, bring your Bibles, and let's go for it. Have a great week. God bless you.